I'm Steven Steigman, and this is Up to Date. A grumpy widower tries to remember his wife by joining a choir she once belonged to. And a group of Los Angeles teenagers live it up by breaking into celebrity homes. This hour, we'll review the latest independent, foreign, and documentary films to hit local screens. We'll also hear the stories of singers whom you've probably heard but rarely seen, and we'll go behind the scenes of WikiLeaks. Some ideas for movies that make you think on Up to Date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steven Steigman. Steve Kraske is away this week. I spend a lot of time as a producer coming up with shows with a news angle. And one of the great pleasures of my job is putting together one that doesn't talk about news, like today. Today I get to talk about WikiLeaks, Middle East conflicts, and crime. Oh, wait. But also on our list of independent, foreign, and documentary films are ones about a grumpy widower who joins a choir, stories of singers who you've heard but rarely seen, and other movies that make you think. Joining us for our monthly review of mostly great films, our film professor Cynthia Haynes. Cynthia, nice to have you again.
Thank you very much.
Steve Walker is an arts reporter here at KCUR. Steve, nice
Hi,
to have
Steven.
You back in the studios. And Bob Butler is the former film critic for The Star, who now works at the Kansas City Public Library. You can read his movie reviews at butlercinemascene.com.
Think? I don't need no stinking think.
Okay, let's review the best Hollywood hits to come out this week.
Well, you know
okay,
what?
We're done.
We have to say that the fact that we have 9 independent films or docs or foreign films today in a summer of a glut of popcorn ooze,
yeah,
and brain dead cinema is amazing.
I was just about to ask you, has it been a good summer for independent film? And the answer sounds like
yes.
Well, let's put it this way: it's been a good if you keep your eyes open and you jump on it the first weekend. It has
right,
been.
Right.
You have a problem with independent cinema. Usually, unless they catch on pretty quickly, they're in and out in a week.
Is that like that year-round or in summer when not as many people are going to the...
It's generally year-round.
Okay.
And I don't know how many times during the course of a year we encourage people to go the first weekend if they think they might like a film.
Because, I think every month we're on, we have to erase a couple of titles we're going
like
to talk
Dirty
about
Wars,
because they're gone.
Yeah, Dirty Wars documentary.
Do you know if attendance at films, at art, indie doc and foreign films goes up or down during the summer?
I would think it would go up.
And
Brian Mossman will tell you, one film we're going to talk about today is The Kings of Summer, which he opened pretty quietly on one of his smaller screens. By the second week, it was in the big, huge Glenwood screen because the afternoon I saw it was packed.
Yeah,
because there's alternative to the 48th Superman and the 14th Iron Man and the stuff
now, Steve,
that I can't watch.
There's an audience for that.
That's
we're,
right,
we're not film snobs
not
here.
Not in my house. And I'm not a snob. I try to watch these things. I tried to watch Dark Shadows. I try to watch things that I finally get to HBO, and I try to watch, and I'm just going, oh, my God, these are so stupid.
Well, I'm not going to pass any judgment here because I really don't get to see a lot of films these days.
Just right.
Could it be the fact you have 3 children?
Could it be the fact that I
if
have
If you're
three
changing
young
diapers,
children.
You're halfway there.
Oh.
Even if I didn't have 3 young children, I find, and I love film, but I find myself with no desire to go into a dark theater on a beautiful summer evening.
Well, just wait one more week. We'll have 100-degree weather, and you'll be dying to get into a cool movie theater.
No, that's a good point. I think I will. Well, we've got, as you mentioned, Steve, we've got a laundry list of great films to review today. And the first one we're going to take a look at is 20 Feet from Stardom. It's a documentary that lifts the curtain on the world of backup singers. Now, Cynthia and Steve, you've seen this film. Who
yes.
wants to start off
well,
with?
Well, I would like to sing the praises of this documentary.
Oh, me
oh,
too.
Ba-bum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rim shot.
Okay.
We're assemble.
Oh, got it.
All right. We have plugged the True False Film Festival in Columbia, Missouri every year. And this is one of the hits that came out of the True False Film Festival this past year. And it is a very long walk, those 20 feet, from a backup singer. It is the one film, the first film, that we saw when we were at the Drew Falls Film Festival that got a standing ovation.
Wow.
And I kind of thought it would be one of those Sugar Man success stories. I don't know how well it's doing at the box office. I don't think maybe all that well. But I run, don't walk, to see 20 Feet from Stardom.
This is a film I want to see.
It is fantastic. And it's basically the story of these, and the majority of them are African-American mm-hmm. women who enhanced just about every song that was coming out from Motown and other record labels, and that includes Mary Clayton. She is the woman's voice on Gimme Shelter, and that's quite a story, too. I don't know, and I didn't even realize these were the lyrics.
I didn't either.
To this line, but it's rape, murder, it's just a shot away, it's just a shot away. Well, she sings it and brings goosebumps.
These are professional singers who could be stars, but they
on their own.
And they try.
And some of them, yeah, most of them have tried. There's Darlene Love, who was in the shadow of Phil Spector.
And her story is the most tragic because she did the lead vocals for the Crystals' He's a Rebel. And when it came out, Spector had her name was nowhere to be found. It was the Rebels, no mention of Darlene Love. And he did that to her a couple times.
Do you think that backup singers get more credit today than they did 30, 40 years ago?
Actually, Stephen, the movie says that they don't use them as much as they used to because
auto-tune stuff is being incorporated.
But think about songs like Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side.
Who's singing that?
David Bowie's Young Americans. We see them in the studio making these films, and then sometimes they even just isolate the background singers and take out everything else that we think is up front. How could these songs not be done with these
women? So when we're listening to these tunes, we're usually humming along with the backup singers, not necessarily the lead singers. Interviews with Bruce Springsteen, Stevie Wonder, Mick Jagger, Sting, they all talk about the importance of those backup singers to their success. The only woman, female performer, that sang praises was Bette Midler. I wish there were more women.
And Midler used three women and featured them prominently in her stage show for 30 years, the Harlettes.
The Harlettes.
The staggering Harlettes.
Now, I can't remember who said, which one of the frontline singers said, you know, incorporating the title of this film, 20 Feet from Stardom, that 20 feet is a really far walk from back there. We've got a clip from this film. Who wants to set it up?
It is Judith Hill, who auditioned on The Voice, and she's talking about singing with Michael Jackson.
From 20 Feet from Stardom.
She's representational of what's happening with background singers at this point. I know that she aspires to be a solo artist, though. I'll pray.
This last tour, I heard from other friends that were with Michael that he just loved her. And of course she got the job.
You know, we were so excited for him and for us to be able to do this show, and it was coming together. And
I can't do that. But you're fine to do it. I gotta save my voice. I ain't going
nowhere. And then all of a sudden, we're on our way to rehearsal, and we get the news, and it's like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, how's that even possible? Such an overwhelming shock just to go from almost on our way to this huge show to all of a sudden, he's gone.
Cynthia?
If you want a good time in a cool movie theater this weekend, run, don't walk to 20 Feet from Stardom. And you'll feel compelled to applaud at the end of the movie.
You know, the only backup singer I know of who like hit it big was Olita Adams. Here in Kansas City, she was a backup singer for Tears for Fears. She was discovered, you know, on the, you know, singing on the High Regency, the rotating restaurant up there, and then eventually was a backup singer for Tears for Fears, broke out on her own, and wow.
Right. Luther Vandross was a backup singer for David Bowie. And so he had a success story. And Darlene Love was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. So it's kind of sweet vindication for her.
That's 20 Feet from Stardom playing at the Tivoli. Run, don't walk. at least 20 feet.
And it's playing at the Fine Arts as well.
Oh, good, good, good. Our next film is We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks. It's a documentary by Alex Gibney about the creation of Julian Assange's controversial website. Steve Walker, tell us about it.
Well, I mean, it couldn't be more timely, considering the movie's about 6 months old, because he's back in the news with the Snowden controversy.
Right.
And this follows his breakout into this world of hacking and gathering secrets. And he was actually soliciting secrets in the early days of WikiLeaks. Here are the top 100 government secrets we want information on.
Hmm.
The one that brought him the attention and perhaps deservedly so, I mean, there are no heroes in this movie by any means, was the footage of American soldiers killing a group of people on the street who turned out to be Reuters employees and civilians, and they mistook cameras for guns. And so there's this horrible footage of them being strafed by an Apache helicopter. And that cable, that little clip, came from Private First Class Bradley Manning, mm-hmm. who's about to go on trial. Isn't that
right,
true?
Right.
Yeah. So these two men, it's really about these two men and these characters and Assange and his megalomania. And he's been living in the Ecuadorian embassy in Britain for a while. If he sets foot on certain countries' soil, he's going to be arrested, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And Bradley Manning's story, he's the soldier who released 90,000 documents.
Right.
Is a fascinating character as well.
That's what, what makes this compelling
yeah.
is that it's about two very real individuals, very flawed individuals, one of whom you feel sorry for, one of whom you really start to dislike intensely. And it balances that against this bigger idea, the idea of government secrecy. Shouldn't facts be out there? Shouldn't we all be allowed to make up our own minds? And it does a pretty deft job of balancing that. I'm not saying it gives you an answer, but it gets you thinking fiercely about it.
Well, a lot of times documentaries have points of view. Is there a point of view in this documentary?
I don't think so. Alex Gibney, who won an Oscar for Taxi to the Dark Side, is the director of this.
He also did the Enron one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's very talented and very good at presenting both sides, giving people on both sides equal time. I don't think he has a definite slant with this one.
I don't see an agenda, although he did include in it the fact that when he tried to interview Julian Assange, Assange said, sure, I'll do it for $1 million.
Yeah. And then seriously?
When Gibney said, I can't afford that, he said, well, if you will feed me information on some of the people you interview.
Yeah, and the background on Bradley Manning
did
is interesting.
Did he do that?
No, he turned him down. He didn't get an interview with him.
This kid is from Oklahoma, where he says in the film, you hear him say, where there were more churches than schools. And more churches than people is what he said. He's a kid struggling with his sexual identity. He's beat up. He's bullied in the service.
Yeah.
He's a pariah. He has nowhere to go except into his head and into his computer. And he's the one who releases, as I said, these documents.
Well, you get into the inside the head of Bradley Manning, into Julian Assange as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a clip from this film. You want to set it up for us?
Well, it's a couple people talking about just the prevalence and the ongoing onslaught of government secrets that have become that have emerged via Assange's work.
Let's listen.
This leak is industrial scale. It touches every relationship the United States has with other countries around the world. Even as the United States and others try to manage the impact of this, it will be a wound that just keeps opening up on a recurring basis.
The behavior of the United States was also exposed as the cables revealed criminal cover-ups and a systematic policy of using diplomats to spy on foreign governments.
Look, everyone has secrets. Some of the activities that nation states conduct in order to keep their people safe and free need to be secret in order to be successful. If they are broadly known, you cannot accomplish your work. Now, let me be very candid. All right? We steal secrets. We steal other nations' secrets. One cannot do that above board and be very successful
for a very long period of time.
Mm. We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks. Cynthia Haynes?
Just want to mention that Taxi to the Dark Side, if it's not already on DVD, will be released shortly.
Another film by Alex Gibney. We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks, showing at the Tivoli Theater. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Steven Steigman. Steve Kraske is away this week. We're talking with our independent documentary and foreign film critics, Cynthia Haynes, Bob Butler, and Steve Walker. Our next film up is one that wasn't screened for the press. It's called Unfinished Song. It's showing at the Tivoli opening today. It's a comedy for people who brought you Quartet and the Sapphires.
Now, we're all three of us are disappointed that a film like this, we know our audience is interested in it if they've seen Quartet or
Young at Heart.
This is their kind of, and we're not given a chance to see it, so we're not going to be able to talk about it.
Why don't you think you were given the chance to see it?
Well, maybe there's a sense that there's a built-in audience for it, and what we have to say won't affect one way or the other, which is what they do often for big-budget Hollywood films. So I don't know. Steve, what do you think?
I don't know.
As long as we're talking about the subject, let's talk about the various reasons that sometimes films aren't screened. One is, you know, because it's such a bad movie that
well,
they don't want.
Well, I have some of the early reviews were less than glowing on this. They thought it was mm-hmm. By the way, it stars Vanessa Redgrave, Gemma Atherton, who is a Bond girl a while back, and
Terrence Stamp,
all of whom are terrific performers. It's about a curmudgeonly old guy who gets sucked into singing for an elderly choir. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's your hook.
And the documentary was called Young at Heart.
Yeah.
When I saw this, I went, okay, can we say
it's
blatant
like
to rip off?
So apparently the makers of this thought, you know, maybe we're better off just seeing if it's going to catch on its own rather than take the chance on taking some heat from
and
critics.
Good movies do that. Mud is an example. You know, hardly any press, but people are still going to see it. And word of mouth in this community is very, very effective.
Okay, so time to speculate here. Do you think it will do well?
Well, it may do well in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I will tell you what, even some, this is going to sound terrible, but even some blue hair movies that weren't very good have done very well here. So I think there's an audience for it.
Okay. Well, that is Unfinished Song. It's opening today at the Tivoli. Let's move on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
An unfinished review.
if you've seen it, well, no one's seen it because
no
it hasn't opened
it.
Yet. Okay.
Right.
Well,
right.
If you've seen it in another city and you'd like to talk about it.
That's possible.
It's possible. Our number here, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email us. Our address is uptodate@kcur.org. In fact, that goes for any of the films we're talking about today. If you've seen them and you'd like to talk about them, give us a call. 816-235-2888. Stuck in Love, the story of first loves and second chances. Bob Butler, why don't you take this one?
This was a Sundance favorite. It's directed, first film written and directed by a guy named Josh Boone. Now, I don't know a thing about this guy, but I think on the basis of this film, he might have a big future.
Yeah.
This is a kind of romantic comedy / drama about a family of writers. Already I'm backpedaling because, you know, writers.
Writers.
Anyway, Greg Kinnear plays a well-established novelist whose wife, Jennifer Connelly, left him for another man a few years earlier. Now he spends his time not writing, but hiding in the bushes outside her house.
Oh.
He has a daughter, a college girl, who is so embittered by her parents' breakup that she's looking for zipless relationships. She cruises her college campus for big, dumb guys that don't want anything more than the physical. She's played by Lily Collins, who I think is a really promising newcomer. There's a younger brother, a high school kid, obsessed with Stephen King, aren't they all? He also aspires to be a writer. He has first love with a classmate, a pretty girl who, as it turns out, has a drug addiction that is more than he can handle.
Is that Logan Lerman playing that one?
What happens is that all these characters explore love in some degree. They're learning, they're falling apart. It could be a cliche. In fact, if you look at it from a distance, it is a cliche, but the acting is so good, the dialogue is so snappy, the performance is so terrific that I was with it all the way. Logan Lerman, who was terrific in Perks of Being a Wallflower, plays the guy who brings the, physically inclined daughter out of her shell and kind of opens her up emotionally. I like these actors. It was good. We got a clip
we
here.
We had a clip. Set it up.
No, this is interesting. Greg Kinnear, of course, plays this guy whose wife has left him. He is now His love life consists of a neighbor lady played by Kristen Bell, who on her morning jog stops by his place, jumps on him, jumps off of him, and as she's pulling on her clothes, gives him romantic advice. This is a scene of them, their post-coital, discussion.
Hmm. Let's listen to the clip.
You need to remarry. Mm-hmm. You're not getting any younger. And if I were you, I would be on every dating website, signing up and just combing the newspapers for personal ads.
I haven't been on a date in 25 years.
Yeah, but what is that? Listen, you're handsome, you're successful, you have a mild amount of celebrity, which is really all a writer can ask for. That's enough to land one of those 20-something trophy wives.
Stuck in Love. It's showing. Do we know where Stuck in Love is showing?
It's wide. It's actually, it's about 6 or 7 theaters.
Okay, good. We receive this email. Mick writes us at UpToDate at KCUR.org. The consensus of reviews I've read is that We Steal Secrets is clearly a sellout hack job designed as character assassination, not as an honest portrayal of the subjects. And that's from Julian. I'm sorry, that's from Mick. What do you think?
I have read some of those reviews, too, and I watched the movie fully expecting it to be a hatchet job. Perhaps because I have no real axe to grind, I found it to be pretty open-minded.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, if you've got comments about our films that we're reviewing today, UpToDate at KCUR.org or call us 816-235-2888. Or, hey, if you're out there with your phone and you want to tweet us or at your computer, we are KCUR, we're at KCUR UpToDate. Our next film we're talking about is The Attack. Steve Walker, it's an Arab-Israeli political thriller. Tell us about it.
Well, it is, and it's about a Palestinian surgeon who has comfortably assimilated into living in Tel Aviv,
mm-hmm.
where, as people will know, there is tension between Jews in Israel and the Palestinians.
Yeah.
He's a surgeon. He's very comfortable in his life. He is besieged at his ER one evening by the bodies and injured from a suicide bomber mm-hmm. attack. And this is within the first 15 minutes sort of that sets up the rest of the film. He discovers that the bomber was, in fact, his wife. And they lived a very non-political life. And so the rest of the film is I've got a little catch in my throat. So the rest of the film is him trying to figure out how could this possibly happen.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. And underlying that, of course, is the story about – do we ever really know our spouses and partners?
Yeah. Interesting.
I think it's a very profound film, very thought-provoking, and deals with so many important issues, again, the political and the personal. The acting is incredible. It's a very natural performance by all of the actors, and a very impressive use of flashbacks, which were very effective. And often, you know, you'll see them in a film, and you know, doesn't enhance the story, but this one does. And I highly recommend it. It's of that category of Paradise Now and A Separation. These are all films. The movie itself has been banned in Lebanon.
Tell us why that is.
Well, for a variety of reasons. The director is Lebanese, and apparently, according to some law, that part of the film was shot in Israel, and Lebanese are not allowed to work in Israel, and some people felt it was pro-Israel. My sense is that it's neither pro nor anti-Israel. Mm. Do you agree, Steve?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's about this man who happens to be Palestinian, who happens to live in Tel Aviv, and trying to figure out why his life is unraveled.
And he thinks he has assimilated well, and he
right.
thinks that the people around him at the hospital are his friends. But there are some very powerful scenes.
So wait, is it an Israeli film or a Lebanese film?
It's a Lebanese film.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And that's why they got in trouble for shooting. Okay, got
when
it.
He goes to one town.
So it's a Lebanese film and it's banned in Lebanon.
Excuse me.
The irony.
He goes to one town and sees pictures of his wife.
Yeah.
Praised as a martyr.
Yeah, and posters up on the
yes,
wall, right?
Posters in the town. And he's just like, this is getting more of a mystery. I'm getting deeper in something I don't understand.
Hmm. Yeah. That's called The Attack. It's showing at the Fine Arts Theater. Let's move on to some films that
it is
are
showing at the Tivoli as
the
well.
Tivoli
I mean,
as well.
We have to give each place credit and let
sure,
them
sure,
know
sure,
where
sure,
it's
sure.
playing.
Yeah. And by the way, you can usually do, we'll have a list of all these films on our website at kcur.org, and a simple Google search of a film name and a zip code will show you all the show times at area theaters. Let's move move on to some films that are already open. Let's open up with The Kings of Summer. Teen boys create an adolescent utopia in the woods. Steve Walker, do you want to talk
about it? I'll try. Okay. I will try. I went in not knowing hardly anything about it, and it's the surprise of the summer for me. It's about these boys who are teenage boys fed up with their parents meddling in their lives, tired of their parents having undue influence, they think, on their lives. And mm-hmm. so one day this kid just says, I've had it. They go. He says, we're going to build a house in the woods. And his friend says, like a tree house? And he goes, no, a house, like a ranch-sized house.
Yeah.
And so they build this house, like makeshift thing with doors from cars and outhouses.
And stuff from building sites.
Right, right, building sites. And the boys end up kind of trying to make a go of it, but they have absolutely no clue how to hunt food, for example.
I remember one scene.
It's a very funny
scene. Is it a giveaway? You know, I had no idea you could find wild chickens here in the woods. And then it cuts to a scene where, you know, he's across the street from a Boston market.
Yeah, Boston market happens to be nearby. But some of their friends who come out and visit this house are completely fooled and not on to them. It's like, see, oh, this chicken's quite good.
It's a sweet story. It really is. And it could be rated G, don't you think?
No. Oh, absolutely not.
No?
Its language is quite
okay,
vulgar.
Well, yes, the language
well, you
is
know
vulgar.
Kids these days.
But I kept thinking about Mud and what a wonderful coming-of-age story that was and how natural those kids were. And then I was flashing on Moonlight Kingdom about the quirky character and the one in Moonlight Kingdom. It didn't strike a good balance for me.
Hmm. This clip we're going to hear will give an indication of what these boys, where their tolerance level is with their parents. Here, this is, I don't have the actor's name, but you will recognize the actress playing his mother as Megan Mullally from Will and Grace.
This is from Kings of Summer.
You do that often? Eat the hamburger and then the fries? You don't mix it up?
I don't know, Dad. Just ask him.
We watched a very good movie on the cable last night. Mm. Oh, honey, what was it called?
I had that guy in it, that actor.
What was it?
What's his name? Called Heimlich.
Yes, with, what's his name? The prince, the new prince.
Will Smith?
Yes, Will Prince.
Will
oh,
prince.
My gosh, what does he play?
A superhero?
No, he plays a superhero.
What the hell are we talking about?
Oh, Patrick, can you whistle?
Funny.
I like it when you harmonize with me on the whistling. Patty, where are you going?
She's so funny. She's very funny in this. And this is the second time in a month I've seen her play a mom who exasperates her high school kid. I think this is the place for her to go in her career.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about a modern interpretation of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. We'll also turn our attention to The Bling Ring. That's by Sofia Coppola. And finally, and not finally, but another film, Before Midnight, which is a new Richard Linklater film. I'm Steven Steigman in for Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Today we are reviewing the latest independent, foreign, and documentary films showing on area screens. Our critics are Steve Walker, Cynthia Haynes, and Bob Butler. Before our break, I said we would be talking about a whole bunch of new films, including this one, a modern take on a Shakespeare classic, Much Ado About Nothing. It's showing at the Tivoli and the Fine Arts, and it's as I said, a modern version of Shakespeare's witty battle of the sexes. Cynthia, start us off here.
I thought it was charming. I was in the mood for it. It was a great afternoon movie. I wasn't all that familiar with Josh Whedon, the director. But he got a bunch of really good actors together and in his home, actually, I believe in Santa Monica, and probably used a flip phone and said, let's make a movie. And apparently they, over the years, have had various readings of Shakespeare and then thought it would be fun to do it in modern dress and using cell phones and iPods and modern cars and stuff. I found it, like I said, absolutely charming.
So it worked for you.
It worked for me.
What makes this interesting is that Joss Whedon, of course, is the man who gave us Buffy, who gave us the Avengers movie. He's been recently, you know, working with $200 million budgets in a world of special effects.
And he does this?
Here he basically does this out of the back of his pocket.
Yeah,
now,
in 12 days.
Wait, he shot this film in 12 days?
Yeah. This is okay. This, I think, is okay Shakespeare. It's not great Shakespeare.
No, I agree.
I think it has a terrific Beatrice and Amy Acker. I did not feel that Alexis Denisoff, who plays her her counterpart was nearly as good as she was. One of the problems here is that when you do Shakespeare and take it out of, you know, pantaloons and doublets, you're looking for a reason. Why did they decide to do a modern dress? Do you remember the Hamlet with Ethan Hawke a few years ago where it became less about Danish royalty than about a corporation and the intrigue? Well, you keep looking for something like that here, and it doesn't happen.
Well, but it's not a particularly profound work by Shakespeare either.
This is true.
It's basically about two people who deny their attraction to each other. And then, you know, then we spend the rest of the movie of them stumbling over each other and hiding. And
oh, by the way, shot in black and white, very effective.
The entire film.
It takes a little while to get used to the language.
Yeah.
But I would say about 10, 15 minutes into it, you're into the swing, just like reading subtitles.
Has anybody taken a Shakespeare Shakespeare play to the next level?
West Side Story.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, a modern interpretation of Shakespeare.
It was radical in its time.
Well, right. And has anyone else done it since then?
Sure. I mean,
people
off
are
and
always,
on,
well,
yeah.
You know what? I suppose.
Could you call it Much Ado About Nothing if you wrote it in modern English?
Ooh.
Well, Clueless is based on Jane Austen's
Emma.
Right. Mm-hmm. This kind of concept has been done many times. I just have to...
It's a lark. I mean, I think you should be charged $1 to go see it.
I think you're about right. I could last... This isn't fair because I didn't see the whole thing. 15 minutes was all I could take of this film.
So okay. A little mixed reviews here from our critics on Much Ado About Nothing. That's showing at the Tivoli and the Fine Arts Theater. Let's move on to The Bling Ring.
Wow.
Celebrity-obsessed teenagers steal from people famous for being famous. This is actually a real story, isn't it?
It's a real story. It happened about 6 years ago in L.A. A bunch of Valley teens started robbing the homes of celebrities, walking away with, in all, about $3 million worth of goods.
Yeah.
The movie by Sofia Coppola is a deadpan black comedy about kids who are entitled and stupid and have no moral compass whatsoever.
I wish you wouldn't talk about me that way.
Yeah, really. These kids are they're so stupid that they post pictures of themselves on the internet dressed out in stolen property.
But, Bob, I could care less about a film with characters like that. That's why I was so disappointed in the film. Because I love her work.
You know what? You didn't care about the characters. I cared about the filmmaking. The filmmaking was so sharp and so, it stuck the knife in and twisted it. The actors are pretty good. They're attractive young people.
Emma Watson is in it, and she does a very good job.
She does a very good job.
I have to say, in the review I wrote on KCR.org, what I thought was this was... fits with other Sofia Coppola movies about people lost in their own collective narcissism or their own egos. These kids are lost in their own grandiosity and their own greediness.
Well, I just feel that Virgin Suicides, which was her first film, absolutely brilliant. And I thought she has a fantastic career going here. And I just think this is Sofia Coppola light. I really do. I don't think there was anything particularly profound about it.
Some people are saying this is a great, great movie. No, it's a good movie. It's an enjoyable movie. I would like to give a shout-out to Leslie Mann, who often appears in films of her husband, Judd Apatow, who here plays the mother of two of the girls, and it is a hysterically funny performance. A woman whose life is now based on that book, The Secret.
Yes.
Right.
It is just a devastating portrayal of this sort of, you know, la-la land idiocy.
There's a scene in it where she homeschools her daughters and says, let's talk about the positive traits of Angelina Jolie. And one of her daughters says, her husband. And no, honey, that's not a trait. Anyway, I think the movie is a beautifully shot, interesting look at shallowness.
That's a good way of putting it.
I think Spring Breakers deals with a very similar theme.
That's a good point.
And does a much better job of telling that story.
I smell a double feature.
Oh, well, if you've seen The Bling Ring, or you've seen Much Ado About Nothing, or The Kings of Summer, and you'd like to comment on any of those films, our number, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email us, uptodate@kcur.org. So kind of mixed on Bling Ring, thumbs up, thumbs down.
No, I liked it. Yeah.
Sideways for Cynthia.
Two and one.
Okay, well, that's good enough. Let's move on to our next film, Before Midnight, showing at the Fine Arts in Liberty Hall in Lawrence.
Boy, am I in the minority on this one. I can see the steam coming out of ears already. Okay, this is the third film from Richard Linklater, starring Julie Delpy, the French actress, and Ethan Hawke. These are characters they created like 16 years ago with Before Sunrise when they were college kids who meet in Vienna. Another 7 or 8 years later, they made Before Sunset. It finds them re-meeting and falling together once again in Paris. Now they've been a couple for the better part of a decade. And in Before Midnight, they are on vacation in the Greek islands. And the marriage is starting to show some real cracks. In fact, I'm not even sure it's a marriage yet. I think they may just still be living together, but they have two little girls, twins. What makes this an interesting movie for me is that I came to it with my head and heart swelling with the romanticism of the first two movies, only to be bashed over the skull with the fact that Never Never Land does not exist, that perfect relationships start to unfray. And the film, of course, like the other two, is mostly conversation, sometimes against beautiful backgrounds, but it's people talking. So if you're not into yakking, it'll drive you nuts. So, All right, lay into me, guys.
The dialogue is trite. It's insipid. I sat there. I looked at my watch 12 times thinking, when can I get out of here? And, you know, I wanted to stick it out. And I thought, maybe something's going to happen to make me want to like this or make me like this movie. I did not enjoy it at all. The insipid conversation between the two of them. I just wanted to poke her between the eyes. I guess she reminded me of Betts and Mad Men.
We've got a clip of them talking that might illustrate what Cynthia's talking about.
My point.
Well, you know what? Let's listen to that clip.
Yes.
So if you're going to spend another 56 more years together,
yeah.
What about me would you like to change?
That's another one of your can't win questions. I'm not answering that.
What do you mean? There's not one thing you'd like to change about me? I'm perfect?
Okay. Actually,
one thing.
If I could change one thing about you, it would be for you to stop trying to change me.
You're a very skilled manipulator.
Well, I'm on to you. I know how you work.
You think?
Yeah, I know everything about you. Here we go. Let's go through here.
I don't think you do, actually.
No? Yeah. Well, I know you better than I know anybody else on the planet, but maybe that's not saying much. What?
This is great.
Right.
You know, I feel close to you.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I don't know, I feel like, you're breathing helium and I'm breathing oxygen.
What makes you say that?
See? I'm trying to truly connect and you make a joke. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Come on. If we're ever going to truly know one another, I mean,
Bob,
I think we probably have to get to know ourselves better first.
Well, you know what? I am going to refrain from making any comments on that, based on that.
Is it true a lot of the dialogue was improvised?
I don't know if it was improvised on the spot, but it came out of
improvisation. I mean, one of the downsides to digital technology is that Richard Linklater could let that camera run and run and run.
That's right.
All the things you're citing as a negative are things that I actually kind of liked about
movie. I'll tell you what, Bob. I like beautiful scenery. The Greek islands are beautiful. I love conversation. I hated the first two movies so much that I didn't even bother leaving my hallway.
Really?
I have. No, I had no interest in seeing this film.
Well, that's a glowing review from Steve Walker.
I didn't see it. I just saw the first two dreadful offerings.
I will warn lovers of the first two movies, this one is more downbeat. But in that regard, it's more realistic, too.
And there is a fan base.
That is Before Midnight, showing at the Fine Arts and Liberty Hall in Lawrence. Let's move on to the East. It's a former FBI agent who infiltrates a radical group and reassesses her loyalty. Bob Butler.
Britt Marling is the it girl of independent cinema right
she's
now.
She's your
she
it
is
girl.
Good. She is good.
She made Another Earth. She made The Sound of My Voice.
Mm-hmm.
These are all low-budget movies that are about interesting ideas. In this case, she's playing an FBI agent, former FBI agent, now working for a major security firm. This is interesting. She doesn't look old enough to get out of the academy, much less be an ex-FBI agent. She's so good, though, that she sold me. She infiltrates this eco-terrorism outfit, and it almost goes without saying that once she's inside the world and starts looking at it from the perspective of these eco-terrorists, she starts to identify with them. Okay, that's a given. But how the film does it is, to me, the interesting part. Really terrific acting from a lot of people, including Alexander Skarsgård, who is a vampire on True Blood, and Ellen Page, who is another indie it girl.
Right.
And it's an intelligent, extremely smart look at sort of maybe misguided idealism?
Yeah. I mean, a band of outsiders who have removed themselves from society, yet their sole purpose is to infiltrate society, those people, those corporations that they have on their hit list.
Here's what they do. They go, they worm their way onto the catering staff of a big corporate picnic and then feed the corporate bigwigs the chemicals they've been dumping.
That was an interesting scene, the way that unfolded,
wow.
Actually. Yeah.
This film opened June the 14th. It has legs, as
yeah.
they say.
Yeah, it's stuck around. It's yeah. stuck around a little bit.
Well, we have some, want to hear what we got here?
Yeah, sure. Let's hear it.
This is Britt as the security expert getting her orders from Patricia Clarkson, her boss in this major security firm.
This is from the East.
Who would you choose?
Me. I'm unexpected. Being unexpected is the only advantage that matters. But you chose Tom.
Why do you say that?
He's your last interview.
You remind me of myself at your age. Smart enough for it to be a disadvantage. You haven't failed at anything yet. Not really. That kind of arrogance is dangerous. They'd smell it on you.
You know, I've been researching this field exclusively for 9 months.
You had a goldfish as a kid?
Sure.
Mm, so you remember taking it home? You had to float the bag in the aquarium, gradually letting the water in little by little, so the fish can adjust.
Okay.
Don't follow your ego out of the bag early.
That's from the...
That's who you end up dead.
That's I keep talking on top of films. That's from the East, and that's showing at the Fine Arts and the Tivoli. Any idea where the name the East comes from?
I don't know why this group chose it for themselves. Maybe because that's where the light comes from.
Oh, interesting. That's a list of our films that are now open in area screens. Let's talk about some local events going on. Bob Butler, what's going on at the Kansas City Public Library?
Well, I want to bring your attention to an event we're having on Sunday, July 28th at 2 p.m. at the Plaza Branch. You all are familiar, I'm sure, with Bev Chapman, Kansas City television journalist. She left TV News a couple years ago and has been spending her time well. She has created a documentary called Nawangambu, Heart of a Tiger, which is about one of the legendary Sherpa climbers who's done the Everest bit and all that.
I think he was the first man to do it twice.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I haven't seen it, but Cynthia tells me that she has.
Well, lucky me. I think Bev has created a fascinating documentary, a great opportunity to share this world that we're really not all that familiar with. And I hope she's doing more documentaries down the road.
I understand it's a lot about Sherpa culture, not just climbing mountains.
Right,
She? And she has footage of mountain climbing?
Yes.
Or wow. So
she traveled to Pakistan, I think, in India to do
Did she
this.
Shoot mm-hmm. the film herself?
I don't
yes.
know. I don't know if she actually physically
she
held the camera.
Yeah, but she had I forgot the name of the woman that she worked with. But anyway, I really encourage people to go see it.
Okay, then remember, that's Sunday, July 28th, and it's free, guys. You can't argue with that.
And it's which library?
The Plaza Branch down in the big auditorium.
Truman Auditorium, okay. Truman Forum. Okay. And the Fine Arts Theater is continuing with its Gather, and the Glenwood Arts, I'm sorry, the Gather series, and they have a new one called The Computer Class.
Right. It's really a big deal. These are films that are shown one night only that haven't even opened in Los Angeles and New York yet, and we have an opportunity to see them here in Kansas City. The next one up is on July the 11th, and it's Computer Class. And Brian Mossman at the Glenwood Arts Theater is looking for people who are willing to play chess for the hour before the film starts. And I forgot who they would be playing against, but it really sounds like a great way to introduce this film, which actually starts at 7:30, and that's July the 11th at the Glenwood Arts Theater, part of their Gather series. So check them out on the web for further details.
So for all of you art film lovers, no pun intended here. Well, no pun intended. MOOC 150 showing at the Tivoli on the 6th, 7th, and 10th. Tell us about the film.
Well, it's from the producers of Leonardo Live, so you know it's going to be good, and it's a celebration of the 150th anniversary of the birth of Edvard Munch. We all know this, are familiar with The Scream. And the film was shot at the National Museum and the Munch Museum in Oslo. And Norwegian and international experts on the artist offer their insight into his work.
I've read that seeing this film in HD is almost like being in an art museum and having a perfect guide with you.
That's what I understand.
Great. The Audience. That's a popular film right now. Helen Mirren as Queen Elizabeth in the National Theatre of England, stage production. So is this a film production of the stage production?
No, this is the stage production.
Oh, the stage production
itself.
That you get to see. Oh, cool.
And we only have one more opportunity to see it, and that's Sunday, July the 7th at 1:30 at the Tivoli. I am so sad that I won't be able to attend, but someone involved in this show, I think, is going to be there before anybody else.
I see somebody through the glass waving her arms. I can't remember her name. She's English or something. And she says she's going to go see it.
Right.
So, anyway.
And this is basically about the relationship that the Queen has had with her 12 prime ministers.
Uh-huh.
So it's Helen doing the Queen again, but telling another story.
Another story. Interesting.
Right.
The Summer Musical Series at the Tivoli.
They've had some great films there. And coming up on July the 10th is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Hmm. Oh, and there's some.
I've got more library.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go, more library stuff.
Our rooftop series, the third Friday of every month during the summer, is called Hometown Hero. They are comedies starring local guy Paul Rudd. Coming up on the 13th or 19th, that's a week from today. I Love You, Man, with Jason Segel, a very, very funny and rude movie. Last month, we had 130 people show up on the roof. It was fantastic. People were bringing their coolers and their blankets and their lawn chairs up on the garden rooftop.
Yeah.
And to sit there as the sun goes down and the lights of the city come on around you and to have the movie out there with the breeze blowing and people yucking it up, it's a pretty freaking great way to spend a Friday
Sounds
night.
It's like a great way to spend a Friday night.
Just show you, we open the doors at 8 o'clock. The movie starts about 9. Settle in. Enjoy yourselves, guys.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. Well, tell us about some films coming up, some coming attractions that we're not going to be able to review between now and the next time we meet here in our studio. Fill the Void, Tivoli, on July 19th.
Right. It's an Israeli film about an 18-year-old Hasidic girl who's pressured to marry her late sister's widower. And this has gotten great reviews, a lot of interest in this film, and it'll be showing at the Tivoli. Looking forward to that movie. Also, Bob, you might want to – you've seen Hannah – Arndt?
Hannah Arndt. Okay. If you had told me that there would be a great movie about intellectual integrity, I'd have said,
right.
I want an Adam Sandler comedy.
Would you have gone that far?
As it turns out, this film is just fantastic. Hannah Arndt was the intellectual, a political and theorist, basically, who fled the Nazis. She was Jewish, came to America, and then was assigned by the New Yorker to cover the Adolf Eichmann trial. She's the one who invented the banality of evil phrase, watching Eichmann in his glass booth. And she unleashed a firestorm when, among other things, she suggested that killing Eichmann is pointless because he was part of a much bigger movement that didn't allow individuals their independence. And she really got in trouble for suggesting that in the years leading up to the war, European Jewish leaders probably made things worse by trying to placate the Nazis. Anyway.
Well, this is, I think, the third film that was a collaborative project of Marguerite von Trotta, the director,
right,
and Barbara Sukowa, who is a phenomenal actress. One movie I remember vividly is The Vision, where Sukowa played
Hildegard, the medieval nun who wrote all the music.
Right. Hmm. Anyway, really an excellent film. We've both seen it. We highly recommend it, and it's coming to the Tivoli sometime this month. Also, Pedro Almodovar's
latest. I'm so excited. Oh, no, that's a title.
You know, he's kind of gone off on a tangent the past few films,
yeah,
but he's back
say,
in
yeah.
high style and yep. high camp about three flamboyant flight attendants. And
that sounds like fun.
Well, it really does.
Sounds like Pedro Almodovar.
And they entertain passengers on a flight from Spain to Mexico. And Lola Duenas, who is a woman who's been in most of his films, I believe, plays a psychic who has a vision of doom. And we've, of course, got cameo appearances by Antonio Banderas and Penelope Cruz.
Oh, Steve is going to be so disappointed he wasn't here to talk
Visions
about Penelope
of doom.
Cruz.
Just the right. person you want to sit next to on a transoceanic flight.
Right, right. So, I bet they won't be showing this as the
well. That's I'm so excited
movie on your next flight.
It opens on August 2nd. We're going to meet up on August 2nd here, so
oh, nice.
We'll have a chance
to talk about it.
Terrific. Our next film is Augustine.
Yes, about the French or the French singer Soko stars as a troubled teenager who becomes a patient of the 19th century neurologist Jean-Martin Charcot. And
wow, again, you pronounced that good.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And yeah, so those are the movies that we're all looking forward to seeing and promoting.
And in case you want to stick around the house, mention a couple of DVDs of films we've reviewed in
the
past.
Wow, this is – I don't know if you saw The House I Live In, Bob.
Yes, I did.
Eugene Jarecki's documentary about the consequences and cost of this country's war on drugs. It is incredibly insightful, disturbing, informative,
and it will not put a dent in our Puritanism, so there.
And of course 56 Up.
Yes, and we talked a lot about that entire series, Michael Apted's latest documentary. He's been following these people since they were 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's about
being a human being, growing older, changing,
and what changes physically and what changes emotionally
you. Yeah.
And physically
and by the time they get to 63 they'll all be pensioners.
Right.
maybe not. Well, we also have Jiro Dreams of Sushi, Rust and Bone, The Untouchables, The Master, Kid with a Bike, Barbara, Compliance, Samsara.
These are all movies I recommend on DVD.
We are going to put a list of these on our website at kcur.org. Cynthia Haynes, Bob Butler, thank you so much for being with us. Tell me your three to see, Cynthia.
All right, 20 Feet from Stardom, definitely. Right up there, number one on the list, The Attack and Mud.
How
okay.
about you?
I'm going to say We Steal Secrets, Stuck in Love, and Bling Ring.
We'll have those as well as Steve Walker's three to see.
And he says We Steal Secrets, The Attack, and 20 Feet from Stardom.
All good recommendations. You can find a list of our critics' picks and their three to see, and more information about all of our broadcasts at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Monday on the program, veterinarian Wayne Hunthausen joins Steve Kraske to talk about pet adoption and answer your pet questions. Our show's theme music is by Bobby Watson and the UMKC Conservatory of Music Concert Jazz Band. We had help this week from KCUR's Kim Noble, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, Caitlin Brennan, and Sangeeta Sastry. I'm Steven Steigman, and you are up to date.